And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. Forgot the name of the program. Hi, I'm Dr. Morgan. I think I've got a really good story for you today, or I've got some good information, and I hope you can find it pretty useful. But somebody is trying to get in. Let's just go ahead and take a chance on the phone call and see what happens. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes, sir. My husband has a hurting, more of a throbbing in the center of the lower back, more to the left. And it really does bother him. It hurts more in the morning and then gets better up in the day, but it never quits hurting.
Okay. Is he good about drinking water?
Well, he drinks some water, but he needs to drink more, I'm sure.
Well, I would say that one of the common threads with every chronic hurting and pain is just dehydration. So just because I say that doesn't make it so. Does he like to take care of himself? Does he stretch every day?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, how would you like me to help you?
Well, I was just wondering, I know that you have recommended rubbing something on that pain or what. Is there anything that we could take?
Oh, yeah, that would be like really simple to do. You could take, there's two or three things you can do. Number one, you could just get a fresh, clean, wholesome lemon and squeeze some of the juice and just rub it directly into the area that hurts. I know this sounds bizarre and unusual, but I've seen it work over and over again. Let the lemon juice just soak into the skin, or another way of saying it is let his lower back just drink up the lemon juice. And then the choice is number two or number three. After the lemon juice dries to the skin, you can either take what's called unfiltered extra virgin olive oil. And you know it's unfiltered because when you pour some in your hand, it has kind of a greenish yellow color to it. Well, that's chlorophyll. And if you'll apply that to the area of pain next, it's going to take a little while for the skin to soak up the olive oil, but your skin is like a sponge. It'll soak up just about anything, which is a side topic, but you got to be careful what you put on your skin. You don't want to spray WD-40 on there. You'll soak that stuff up. It's horrible. And so that's one option. The other option is castor oil.
Okay.
I have a really old textbook on my shelf. It's from 1944. And I think it's called The Annals of Orthopedic Surgery, the year 1944. Well, sometimes I look through these old books because I find them very educational. But the standing orders of every orthopedic surgeon back in 1944 when somebody had a lower back surgery to kind of either correct an imbalance or to treat a bulging disc or a ruptured disc, they would pack all the surgical incisions in castor oil. And when I kept reading, it said it was for one purpose, is to prevent staph infections. And so there's multiple uses for castor oil, but castor oil, one of the greatest things that it does is it increases lymphatic circulation. So what we want is whatever's in your husband's lower back on that side that never goes away, we want to help the immune system clean it up, resolve it, get rid of it. So rubbing castor oil can be one of the simplest things that he can do to try to clear that up. The other thing that I'll do sometimes, this one's going to sound weird too. Probably everything I say sounds weird to some people, but do you know what tea tree oil is?
I've heard of it.
He could just try putting a couple of drops of tea tree oil directly over X marks the spot or ground zero, wherever the pain is emanating from. So if you ask him to take his finger in or thumb and just push exactly where he feels like ground zero is, then put a couple of drops of tea tree oil right on that.
Mm-hmm. He tells me that it hurts more in the center left in the mornings. But if he gets out and weeds eats or something, it moves to the right. Could that be arthritis?
No, it's probably a facet joint. These facet joints in the lower back, that's where all the motion and the movement takes place. So that's a good sign for him, though. When he gets up and moves, his back starts feeling better. And so that's good. But the simplest recommendation I can give you is to go to YouTube and type in stretches for low back pain where it favors the left and then it moves to the right after weed eating. Surely somebody has got a video based on that. And so if he would start doing low back stretches, what I did years ago, and I don't mind telling you, back in the 90s, my back was wrecked. I mean, it was so bad, I thought to myself, I can't do this anymore. The pain is... Have you ever, like, awakened in the middle of the night or woke up and you need to change positions, but it hurts so bad you even question whether or not you can do it or not? I remember I would, like, dig in my elbow and I would have to, like, raise a certain position just so I could shift and turn over. But anyway, I came across a book called Core Performance, and the gentleman or the author's name was Mark Verstegen. But if you just write down that book title, Core Performance, and I think there's probably 10, 12 chapters in the book, I only did the first two chapters of exercises, and my back has been completely pain-free ever since.
Okay, so, Core Performance by Mark who?
Verstegen, V-E-R-S-T-E-G-E-N, Verstegen.
Okay. And a while ago you said what joint, facet joint in the back?
It's called a facet joint, F-A-C-E-T, facet.
Oh, okay.
Like,
okay.
It's almost spelled like the word facet, but right. I think they're pronounced properly facet.
Okay. And
or if you're French, it would be Le Facet.
I'm not French.
We?
One more thing I need to ask you about. A plantar's wart in his right foot.
Just go get some old cod liver oil from a gel cap or from a bottle of cod liver oil. Drench it on a piece of sterile gauze and tape it to that every night when he goes to bed. That'll dissolve it.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Dr. Morgan, you have helped us over and over and over again, and we appreciate you so much.
Well, you're welcome, and you make it really fun for me, too, so that's a good thing.
Well, we appreciate you. You have a wonderful day.
Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay, I've got something good for you here. This caught my eye for two or three reasons. And so I started to pursue this, and I actually looked up the name of the tree. I think the tree is called the Baccharis draculinculifolia tree. It sounds like Count Dracula tree. It's a tree that grows in Brazil, but let me read this to you right here. I find this so fascinating. And who knows, this information, it may save your life. You may decide that you want to have some of this Brazilian propolis in your medicine cabinet for future, you know, use or emergencies. So let me share this with you right here. What is the name of this bee? They say it's half African. Never mind. I'm not going to go through all that right there. But what they noticed was after being infected with a potentially deadly influenza virus, and when I tell you the numbers on this, it may kind of blow your mind. They showed that they could use Brazilian propolis, and sometimes it's called green Brazilian propolis. And when I looked at pictures of it, it almost looks like green chunks of like a rough jade or a green rock or a stone or something like that. Anyway, the point that I'm going to get to is propolis, which comes from bees that visit this tree called the, what's it called again? The Baccharis Dracula tree from Brazil. Anyway, it prevents viruses from replicating. I'm going, oh boy, in the time and the age that we live in, this might be really good information for somebody. Okay, so Brazilian propolis. It's like regular propolis. It's a bee product. And so bees make propolis from these resins or these excretions of plants. And they kind of use it as a cement in the, when they build a beehive or in their nest. And so it says that, and I don't know, I didn't research all this, so some of it I looked up. It says Brazilian propolis is made by half African bees that forage on the South American tree, Baccharis Draculinifolia. The active ingredient is called archipilin C, which is a phenol. Phenols, you may have, that may kind of catch your attention. You think, hey, aren't there phenols in dark chocolate? Yes. Are there phenol compounds found in green tea? Oh, yes, there are. So at least we're on the same page on this, that maybe the propolis from the Brazilian green propolis, maybe it's got something good in there for us. And so here's the study right here. Biochemists from Kyushu University in Japan, what they did was they infected a large group of mice with a deadly form of influenza. You might as well just say a deadly form of COVID-19. Okay? And so some of the mice, they received a small dose of a Brazilian propolis extract three times a day during the following 7 days via the oral route, which means somehow or another they were able to get this Brazilian propolis into the mouth of mice. Okay, whereas other mice, they didn't get any propolis at all. So the very highest dose that was administered by the researchers was 10 milligrams of this Brazilian propolis extract per kilogram of body weight three times a day. They say that the human equivalent of that dose is about three doses of 80 milligrams of the extract each per day. So really 80 milligrams, what's 80 times 3? 240. That would be so easy to do, and that's the only dose that they measured right there. Okay. I'm sorry, I totally lied to you on that one. They used three doses, but 10 milligrams was the largest dose, but that's going to prove to be very significant. So here's the results right here. Guess what happened to the mice that did not receive any of the Brazilian propolis from the honeybee? Okay? They all died, as in 100% death rate. And how long did that take? Some of them hung on for 9 days. Okay? So they were challenged with the influenza virus, a deadly form of them. Now get this. 70% of the mice, that's 70%, not 0%, that received the highest dose of the propolis, they were still alive by day number 10. Now, they used lesser doses, and they didn't survive as long, which I think the point that I want you to walk away with is, the more propolis they gave the mice, the more survived, and they were able to rise to the occasion. So, if you like the idea of having a higher survival rate, maybe you should consider the propolis, because it could give you actually a fighting chance. Okay, what else did I see here? Oh, they did another follow-up, and all they did was they tried to determine the number of viruses that were in the lungs of the mice. And they showed that those that took the 10 milligrams of the bee propolis, they absolutely had the lowest number of viral replications in their lungs. So maybe one of the takeaway, and one thing that propolis does have in it, it does contain what are called quercetin analogs, which I know, if you ask a medical doctor what his opinion of quercetin is, it may not be like a glowing, you know, impression or opinion of it, but that's just the way the world is. So you got to understand something here. Propolis is relatively cheap. Quercetin is relatively cheap. Anybody can go and purchase it. So if you want to go to the store today and say, you know what, I heard Dr. Morgan talking about this African propolis, and I want to just put one of those up in my cabinet. What if there's some new variant of COVID-19 that comes out? You know, how the virus mutates, and I just want to be prepared to do what I can to help myself get well. And folks, you already know what I'm going to say, but you don't want to put yourself in the hands of a ventilator. You don't want to be on all these massive drugs if you can keep from it. You have to tell yourself over and over again that hospitals are the very places where the sickest, most diseased, most infected people go for help. Stay out of that if you can. Yes, you need to go to the hospital if you need to go. I'm not trying to talk you out of it. But what I'm saying is, use that big, beautiful brain that God's given you. Use your intelligence. Use some common sense and reasoning. And maybe you can start coming up with like an active plan of what are we going to do. So, you like the idea of after 10 days, after all the other mice died that didn't take propolis, 70% were still alive. That's impressive to me. Of course, they're not going to do a study on humans like that because I don't want a human being to die, neither do you. Okay. You're probably thinking, well, that sounds good about mice, Dr. Morgan, but what about human beings? Well, funny you should ask me that question. Because look at what I found. Here we go. Green propolis, that's that resin that comes from trees that bees make, it gets COVID patient discharged from the hospital sooner. And I'm not going to read all of it to you, but here's part of it right here. According to a study that appeared in the journal Biomedicine and Pharmacotherapy, short-term supplementation with green propolis helps people with COVID-19 get out of the hospital faster. And so you're going to figure this out real quick. You're going to ask me the question. So you're telling me these people were sick with COVID-19 and they were admitted to the hospital? Yes, that's correct. So this has nothing to do with them taking green propolis prior to going to the hospital. That's kind of what I was suggesting to you a while ago, if you want to stay out of it, which is what my plan is. Here, that's my recommendation for the rest of 2023. Don't get sick. Don't. And so the way that you do that is you got to come up with some type of a system on what you're going to do if the situation comes up where you get sick. Does that make sense? Okay. Here's the study right here. I think you're going to find this interesting. Brazilian researchers divided 124 hospitalized patients that had COVID-19 into three groups. The subjects in the control group, they received standard care for the first 7 days that they were hospitalized. And folks, I don't know how you want to interpret this. You got no business. You're not going to hang out in the hospital for 7 days because you feel great. You're really, really sick, okay? They don't just keep you for 7 days for saying, you know what, you really got the Cadillac plan on the insurance. We'd like to keep you another, you know, even though this is your first day in the hospital, we'd like to keep you for 6 more days. No. They have to get them out to make room for other people. It's just like a revolving door. Anyway, but thank goodness that we have hospitals to care for people that are sick. I'm all for that. Okay, so the first group, they just received the best hospital care that the hospital had to offer. You got that? Okay. Group number two, they gave them 400 milligrams of green propolis a day. That's all they did. That was the only thing that they added to their regimen. A capsule or whatever the delivery system was where they gave them 400 milligrams of green propolis. And, of course, how you get the green propolis is you've got God's most amazing creation called the honeybee. It goes and gathers the medicine for us. Okay? While a third group, they took 800 milligrams of green propolis daily. Okay? The researchers used a supplement, and it's called ProPomax. P-R-O-P-O-M-A-X. And that comes from the Brazilian company Apis Flora. I like the name of that company. That's a good one right there. The green propolis extract was contained in 100 milligram capsules. Okay, for some reason I missed that before. So if the delivery system is propolis, it's in 100 milligram capsule. It's probably like a small capsule. First, the second group, they took four of those a day. All right. It says the trial was partly funded by Apis Flora. That's fine by me. Who cares? All right. As long as we're honest with the results. Okay. In the 400 milligram group, The supplement provided 54 milligrams of what are called the phenols, half of which consisted of what are called quercetin analogs, which in your mind, when I mention the word quercetin, you think to yourself, I think I have heard of that when it comes to treating COVID-19. I mean, from the nature's pharmacy, not from, you know, the pharmacy at the large store. It says the active substances in green propolis contain a number of phenols with a relatively high bioavailability, which means they're processed really well and they're useful in a human organism. Okay? A prominent bioactive compound in green propolis is the phenol that's named artepilin C. It shows the chemical structure to me, but that doesn't do anything to you. It says, according to a Japanese animal study, artepilin C, which comes from the propolis, it tends to activate what are called your thymus regulatory cells, or the Treg cells. And here's the bottom line. When COVID-19 escalates into a cytokine storm, that's when it just does massive damage to all the tissues of your body and just wrecks you. Even people that have had COVID-19, sometimes years later, they just can't get their strength back and they'll say, I can't recover. That's because the virus shuts down the Treg cells and propolis helps correct that. Okay? Isn't that something? Honeybees to the rescue. Here's the results right here. And just, you know what? You just tell me what you think about this. If you don't think this is impressive, that's fine. That's your opinion. I, however, think this is like a godsend, and I'm going to pay attention to it. So in my mind, do I want to have some green propolis in my arsenal? Okay. Here's the results. The subjects in the control group that only had the standard of medical care, I mean, the hospital system gave them the best medicine they had to offer. Guess how long they stayed in the hospital for? It was an average of exactly 12.6 days. So you get what I'm saying? You get the very best hospital care of all time, and you're going to be in there for 12.6 days. Okay, the ones that consumed the 400 milligrams, I think that was 4 100-milligram capsules, they were able to go home after 9.5 days. Now, they did another one where they gave them 800 milligrams, which I know the wheels in your mind are going to start turning on this. So those that took 400 milligrams, they were released and able to go home after 9.5 days. You tell me, would you rather stay 12.6 days in the hospital in a bed or 9.5? If that was your only decision or choice you had to make, well, you're going to choose the 9.5. You're going to say, I'm out of here. I'm going back home. The 800 milligram group of the propolis, and this was Brazilian green propolis, and I think the supplement's called Propomax. They stayed in the hospital for 8.2 days. I don't know. I may not be the world's greatest statistician where I can determine what these mean, but folks, is that statistically significant? Just standard hospital care and you're going to be there for 12.6 days trying to get over the COVID-19, or once you get in there, 8.2 days on the propolis? That's a no-brainer. Of course, the study that I want is the moment a person starts to feel bad, what about giving them propolis then? I hadn't found that one yet. Okay, so I really think these are statistically significant. I mean, this is like huge. I'm looking at the chart right here, and it's just amazing. The one where they gave them 800 milligrams, what I told you doesn't really reveal what really happened, but a lot of the people responded so well, they could go home by day number 4. And it's like greater than probably any other group on there. So, but there's some that kind of lingered longer. And you have to understand, when you're talking about a human being, there are so many variables, just like I mentioned earlier. And I'm gonna say this just very straight and to the point. This is not what I call brain surgery, folks. People that are chronically dehydrated, they always have the worst chronic health problems of all time. It's almost like they can't shake it. They can't get over the diabetes. They can't get over the severe arthritis. They can't respond to cancer treatments. They never get over all their major digestive issues. The brain never works right. Folks, every cell and tissue in your body requires an optimal amount of water to make your cells work properly. Another way of saying this is, every good and excellent and positive chemical reaction that takes place in the cells, it only does so in the presence of water. Okay? I can't even tell you how many people I've seen with COVID-19 that are suffering from horrible dehydration. They just couldn't get... And you know what? They'll tell me, but I don't like water, Dr. Morgan. It's too watery. Okay. We better find a way to take care of this. Anyway, here's the next thing right here. I'm telling you right now, if you don't pay attention to this one, you're nuts. I mean, I can lead a horse to water. I can't make you drink, though. Here's the other thing they noticed. And this is really what caught my attention, because this is almost becoming an epidemic. The number of people with damage to their kidneys, kidney failure, is becoming astronomical. You know, if you're in Jacksonville, there is a kidney dialysis center. I'm not going to say its name. But they're loaded to full capacity. Just drive by it. It's the old Gibson's building. You don't want to go there. I mean, I realize some people do. But, you know, it's your choice. You know what? You really have to decide today. Am I going to take care of myself, or I'm going to trash my kidneys? It's easy to do. Just drink a bunch of Cokes and take a bunch of drugs. It'll do it every single time. Okay, in this study on those that were in the hospital for COVID-19, it says of the subjects in the control group, those are the people that just got the standard medical care. They didn't get the propolis. Says that 23.8% suffered kidney damage. And it was significant, because what they could do is they could measure it. They could do a very simple test called urinalysis, and they could say, looky here, the kidneys are leaking protein. They've been damaged. Instead of me saying 23.8%, I should just say a quarter, shouldn't I? So you got to know going into this, if you're going to rely on drugs, your kidneys are going to start to shut down, okay? It says in the group that took the 400 milligrams of the propolis, it was only 12.5%. That's like cutting the number basically in half that had kidney damage. And I thought to myself, well, just maybe propolis is extremely therapeutic and healing and protective. And that's what phenols do. They're very protective. If you don't do anything else today, why don't you start drinking a couple cups of green tea? Give your body a chance to heal. Guess what the amount of kidney damage was, or the percentage-wise, in the people that took 800 milligrams of propolis? Well, it was only 4.8. I'm telling you. You know what? The conclusion by the authors were, and I'm just going to quote them. Here's what the Brazilians wrote. Propolis should be considered as an adjuvant in the treatment of COVID-19 patients. Duh. I think I agree with that one, totally. Anyway, I hope you like that information. I've had several people trying to call in. Go ahead and call back right now. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. I'll punch the button on the first one that dials up, and I'll do my very best to answer your phone calls or your questions. Here we go. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Dr. Morgan.
Hello.
Hi. I had some questions about an illness that my son has come down with. I think it's called, for short, I could spell it for you.
Yeah, you better spell it.
Okay. It's RHABDOMY. OLYSIS. I think they call it rhabdo.
Yeah, rhabdomyolysis.
Yes.
Okay, so okay. Can I tell you what causes that?
You can.
Okay, yes. So for example, I came across this article that showed that people that are excessive junkies when it comes to CrossFit training, and what I'm saying is they overdo it. They do more training than what the body can handle. Rhabdomyolysis is a condition where your skeletal muscles, just think biceps, shoulder muscles, back muscles, leg muscles, they start to break down and dissolve. And then these muscle fibers go into your bloodstream, and it's like a creek where there's been like a flood. There's all these logs and timbers and brush clogging up the creek. And so rhabdomyolysis means his blood's all clogged up with broken muscle fibers. But you want me to tell you what's really doing it? He's taking a statin drug. That's what's doing it.
Okay.
Is he taking a drug to lower his cholesterol?
No, he hadn't been. Actually, he's trying to be as healthy as possible by doing, you know, mixed drinks, vegetables, and things like that.
Well, that's good. And, he's trying.
But he works out in the sun, in the heat. And he's had several occasions where he's had to go in the hospital to get IVs put in. And he drinks maybe a gallon of water within a half a day. That he's steady drinking water.
Is he putting salt in that water to try to retain it?
No.
Do you remember, like, when we were kids, if we participated in high school sports out in the month of July and August, what would they give us at the water break? Salt tablets.
Well, yeah, my dad used to take those.
And so that's probably one of the first things that we do to try to correct this. Because if you don't have enough minerals in your body, what happens is you could drink the gallon of water, but it will completely just run right through you. I mean, do you know what it's like to drink a glass of water and like 20 minutes later you have to go pee it all out?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's a lack of minerals right there.
Okay.
And so, yes, when you become chronic, when you're dehydrated or the water's running through you, it does break down your skeletal muscle, and that is linked with rhabdomyolysis, like you're telling me.
Oh, goodness.
So he's not taking a statin drug to lower his cholesterol, is he?
No, the only thing that he's taking that I know, because when he went to the doctor, they couldn't diagnose it at first. He went for years and just got diagnosed maybe about a month ago. Nobody knew what it was, but he had to go to the ER, and they told him what it was. And so then I had started him taking, and tell me if these are some things we need to continue taking or he need to eliminate. I started him on saffron, chlorella.
Man, those things are horrible. He'll get well if he takes those. Man,
okay.
How is the pharmacy going to make money for the rest of his life if he does those things?
Exactly. That's why.
You mean you don't have a problem with it?
Oh, of course not. I'm listening to you
all
the time.
Oh, my goodness. But the big drug companies don't like this plan.
I'm sure.
Anyway, go ahead. I'm just joking.
Okay. But the D3K2 and turmeric curcumin, I had it on all of those. So tell me if I need to eliminate something or if you need
to... No, you're on the right track, and I really like that. One thing that I want you to consider, though, there is a supplement by a company called Standard Process. It is called Cardio Plus. They have another supplement called Myotrophin PMG, I think. But what it does is it's a substance that helps heal your muscles where they don't break down prematurely. I know that's kind of like an oversimplification, but do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to say, Mom, I'm going to go for a walk. And when you get back, you go, Mom, I can barely move. It's like I've wrecked my body by just walking to the end of the block and back. Well, you don't want that. So sometimes the immune system will start to actually kind of attack the muscles, and the Cardio Plus would help stop the body from doing that, which, I mean, all he can do is try it and see if he feels much better.
Right.
But he's probably got other issues if he has rhabdomyolysis, and it's not because he's taking any drugs whatsoever. So for the last several years, he's had this problem, but he's not taking any drugs by prescription?
No. Matter of fact, they didn't prescribe him anything then. They put him on antibiotics when he went into the ER the last time he had come down with immune system being knocked down so much with this. So they put him on...
But I think this is probably autoimmune in nature. So what's his number one symptom? Is it just legs hurt all the time? Is he just aching?
He's been bothered with that. The back part of his legs, I think you see it running down from his back, was hurting.
Is that his main problem? Or is it that and a combination of he's just exhausted after working?
That's the big combination of it. And he likes to try to work out. And he said if he does work out, his back will hurt so bad, he probably wouldn't be able to walk.
See, I think there's something else going on here. I really do.
Okay.
Now, if it were me, and I realize what I'm going to say is going to be different, but my mind is going toward what's going on between his liver and his kidneys.
Well, his kidneys are functioning, and they said about 75%.
Well, that means there's damage. There's very significant damage to the kidneys if his GFR is right at 75%.
Right.
And so we need to figure out, what do we do to repair them? And I don't know if you heard what I said a while ago, but when I was talking about green propolis, they showed that people that had COVID-19 at this hospital in Brazil, the least amount of kidney damage were those that took the 800 milligrams of the green propolis.
Mm-hmm. Okay, green propolis?
Propolis. Also, can I spell it for you?
Please.
Let me write it down. P-R-O-P-O-L-I-S. Propolis.
Okay.
It's almost like the word Polish with a pro on the front of it.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like pro-Polish.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay.
But and that's why you've got to be open-minded to buying into the concept that just maybe there are things found in nature that God has been so generous and kind and gracious to give us.
Yeah.
That if we only knew about them and we took them, that we would be the benefactors and our bodies would be blessed and they would work better. So in this study, the least amount of kidney problems, the propolis is very, very protective of the kidneys.
Okay.
I mean, I can only imagine there's got to be hundreds of people that are listening right now, or 10 or 20 maybe, but that need to hear this conversation about the kidneys.
Okay.
But I would look at it in, so can I talk about his liver just for a brief second?
Sure.
All right, when your son eats, what's the most favorite meal that you could make him that he would absolutely love to eat if you made it for him?
Oh, if I made it for him, he'd love salmon croquettes and...
Oh, my, wait a second. Hang on, I got my pen handy. What is your exact physical address where I can come next time you make those? See, my mom used to make those. I love salmon croquettes. Those are like...
Yeah.
She made them perfectly, though, with love. That's great.
And okay, that'll work.
She'd make that homemade tartar sauce, too.
Okay.
With lots of onions and pickles. Do you like that sort of thing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so what happens is if you make him a salmon croquette, you know that the salmon, which spends part of its life in the freshwater streams of North America and or Canada, and part of its life is going to spend in the Pacific Ocean or the Atlantic Ocean. You got that?
Yes.
All right. So the salmon is a fish that has its own unique DNA, but when you feed your son his favorite meal of your salmon croquettes, what is it that converts the salmon into your son's DNA? What's your son's first name?
Floyd.
Floyd. So what organ system in the body turns fish DNA into Floyd DNA? Well, that's his liver.
Okay.
And so the liver humanizes. So if you eat two eggs over easy for breakfast with an avocado, well, what prevents you from turning into an avocado or an egg? It's your liver does that. Your liver is what humanizes everything. So if he's got rhabdomyolysis, I've got to go to his immune system and also the liver and the kidneys. There may be a glitch. But what I'm going to suggest to you is he probably has some type of a hidden food intolerance or allergy even, which means if he eats a certain substance, it causes his body to attack him. And what may be happening, that's what the definition of an autoimmune condition is. Your body attacks you. Kind of like I was talking to a woman Wednesday night after church, and she was saying, my hands are killing me. It's moving around. Well, that would be more classic of what's called rheumatoid arthritis, right?
Yeah.
And so, but you've got to figure out what is triggering the immune system. So every human being is made differently, but with your son Floyd, there's got to be some way, simple way, to figure out if he's eating a particular food group. And let me give you an example. In some people, if they eat, let's just say wheat or dairy products that come from a cow, that could be called milk or ice cream, or cheese, if it comes from a different plant like corn or soybean. But somewhere in his story, I'd be willing to bet anything that he's eating a food that's triggering his immune system to attack his muscles. I really believe that. Now, just because I believe that, I can't really prove it to you over the radio. Yeah. But that's what I'm thinking of. But I think I've given you some great information about the bee propolis.
Yes. Yes, I'm going to have to see if I can't find that.
Oh, yeah, it should be easy. Propolis is probably for sale at each and any health food store. So that could be, you could go to Whole Health in Tyler. You can go to the Granary, Drug Emporium. Let me see, what's the other one? Natural Grocer, Sprouts.
Yeah. Okay.
Or what you should do is, if you have a flashlight, you can sneak into the beekeeper's backyard at night, open up the beehive. I mean, what could go wrong with that plan, right?
Definitely.
You'd say, Dr. Morgan didn't tell me there were African killer bees in
here. Right.
Have you ever seen that Hadzabi tribe from Tanzania climb up a tree and they'll just reach in there and the bees are stinging them like crazy?
I don't understand it.
They don't even flinch.
Exactly.
And when they take that honeycomb out, their dogs down below, what they do is they toss them a chunk of the honeycomb with honey, and the dogs eat it like it's fresh meat. They're like in love with it. It's so crazy. You know what the biggest part about that story that fascinates me?
What?
They show these little bitty hunter-gatherer kind of pygmy men running around and with their bows and arrows with their dogs. They usually have like about 40 or 50 dogs with them. But he goes, wait, did you hear that? And I'm thinking, well, hear what? And he said, that bird is telling me that about a quarter mile over here, there's a beehive in a tree, and he wants me to come get the honey for him. And I'm going, did the bird really say that? but they run, they make a beeline straight for the tree, and I'm going, oh, wow, maybe they're just a little bit more in tune with nature.
Of course.
Anyway. But I hope that we can find a way to help your son. But so what he's going to need is he's going to need a substance called magnesium. Magnesium plays a huge role in helping to limit the inflammation of the muscles. Cod liver oil also is just literally a godsend. And we might even look at what's called ginger and turmeric. Those can be home runs for him also.
Okay, well, I wasn't doing the ginger for him, but he does have the turmeric or cumin.
Well, you're doing great.
Okay. And so you said the bee propolis, what is it, did you say green bee propolis or just bee propolis?
Well, in this one study that I read, I think they said it was green propolis.
Okay.
I mean, you want me to look up the name of the tree again for you? Here it is right here. Well, I said here it is.
Okay.
Here it is. Here it is right here. It's called the Baccharis Dracula tree. Like, you really need to know that.
Okay.
But it's called green propolis, which, okay. And anyway, just because I say that, it doesn't mean that regular propolis won't work. Probably would. But I think that's a particular tree that produces very unique resins. It's like anything else. You know, you go out into the woods and you see a pine tree and you go, wow, look at that resin that's on there. That smells so good. I wonder if it has some turpentine in it. I wonder, okay. You know how they take a fiddle and rosin up the bow, those bow strings with that pine rosin? Pretty cool stuff. Mm. I think it personally smells really, really good. You know, that I don't tell anybody I do this because I don't want anybody knowing, but if I find a chunk of that rosin on a pine tree, I always break it off and I just put it in my pickup because I just love the smell of it. That's my essential oil diffuser, a chunk of pine rosin. And you know what? It doesn't even require batteries or electricity. It works.
Yeah. Okay. And you can't find turpentine anymore, can you?
Oh, yeah. You can get turpentine real easy.
Oh, really? Okay. I didn't think
you did it anymore. There's a website you have never heard of before. It's called Amazon.com.
Hey, yeah.
They have turpentine there easily.
Okay.
Okay. I hope this helps you today.
The Quadio Plus.
And you realize I'm just guessing. Radio is not the same as actually figuring it out. So I'm trying to give you my best stab toward what's going to help Floyd get his strength back. But some of it has got to be, there's got to be a substance to triggering him. There's got to be.
Yeah, if he can get time off before he can get in, we want to try to make appointments so he can see you. But right now, this is my only option.
I mean, excuse me? Okay, I'm going to be a little bit difficult here. He cannot take time to figure this out all he wants. And as his body breaks down, then we'll see where he is after it's broken.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he can decide, maybe I should have taken an hour off early one day.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that would have been like a pretty good plan to get my body fixed before it's broken. Because you can't play around with kidney failure. And I'm just going to be real blunt. If he's okay with his kidney function at 75%, he doesn't know what he's talking about then. Because if he loses his kidneys and he has to go to dialysis, how's that going to be where Floyd says, Mom, I'd love to come for some salmon croquettes, but you're going to have to do it on Tuesday because that's the only day I'm not in dialysis all day long.
Right.
And so, sorry to be kind of abrupt on that, but you cannot play with kidney damage.
Exactly.
You cannot. You can, but you're just going to wreck your health. And then you can spend every nickel that you make by working all those hours on disease care, which I do not want to do that.
Right.
Anyway, that's my two cents.
I appreciate you very much.
You're welcome. I hope you have a really good day, ma'am.
And you too. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. All right, if you want to join me on the air, the phone number is 903-586-5257. I'm so sorry I botched that one. I think my mind is in first and second gear now. Maybe I can get it up to third or fourth gear. I do remember my father had a 64, kind of a turquoise blue Chevy stepside pickup with a wooden bed. Anyway, it was a column shift. That's where I learned to drive. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Morgan. I have a question. I was wondering if you've ever heard of something called OsteoStrong. It's a biohack that helps you strengthen the foundation of your body.
What does it consist of?
Well, a bunch of machines that you, like you test yourself for the strength of it, like pushing up and your core and your legs and your arms. And then they grade you on the bone density or the amount, the strength that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all around the country. I mean, they have little places. It's not usually run with doctors, but by people who are trained to do it. And people have gotten a lot of success with it for their osteoporosis or osteopenia.
Well, yes. If we took and laid everything on the table to build the bones, what would be number one? Physical training every single time.
Right.
So is this like a new revelation to you?
Well, no, but the thing is, it's once a week, 10 minutes at a time.
And you mean the training?
Yeah, the training.
Okay.
It's not really training. It's just whatever they, you know, the machines that they have.
Well, evidently it's so human beings, God has designed us to be highly adaptable. And so you've heard the phrase before, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Well, you can take some of that with a grain of salt. But you've got to put stress or a load on the body for the body to say, oh, my goodness, maybe we should grow some more bone to resist this stress so we can, like, push back. You've heard of the law of thermodynamics, haven't you? For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
Yeah.
So if you load the body up, the body responds by saying, oh, my goodness, maybe Roy needs to have a strong backbone and to be strong to resist this.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this sounds good.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to avoid having to use all those bisphosphonates that they put you on when you do have osteoporosis.
Well, do you have you had a bone density test where it shows your T score is like minus 2.5?
Not lately. I'm due to have one, and I'm going to. But in the meantime, I was going to try this.
Do you know what really happens? It's called a piezoelectric charge. Every time that your bare foot or your foot in a shoe makes contact with the ground, it causes the crystallized form of bone to rub together and create a shocking charge. And that shock, think mm-hmm. of a cattle prod touching a cow on the backside to make him go through the chute. You're shocking your bones into growing new bone. So physical exercise and training is designed to keep your bones in good working order. Being sedentary, laying in your bed all day long, doing TikTok on your phone, that does not build bone.
Right.
I know that's a shock to people, that laying on your back and swiping your phone for like 18 hours straight, that doesn't build the bone. Isn't that a crazy thought?
Yes, it is.
Well, do you know which hobby has been shown, or pastime has been shown, to have the strongest and the best bones? Gardening. That's the hobby associated with longevity. And you know what that means? I'm going to go out there and put my foot on a shovel and dig a hole, and I'm going to plant something that I'm going to rake and weed eat and chop and trim.
Yes, well, I do my share of weed eating, so that's okay.
You know what? You do need some more practice, don't you? I have exactly a place where you can come practice.
No, I have plenty. Thank you.
Good for you. No, thank you very much for your phone call, ma'am.
Thanks so much.
All righty. Bye-bye. 903-586-5257 is the official phone number. I ran into John Paul this morning. He was going to do some hard manual labor over the Tomato Fest this morning. He told me he fantasizes about doing hard manual labor, pulling heavy trailers and such. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But I like the idea that he wants to be very physically fit, and especially at the young age that he is also. Okay, if nobody wants to join me on the... If you don't want to ask me a question, I'm going to read this article to you. I'll try to make it straight and to the point. Now, this is really my whole thought process this morning. I thought this could be some pretty good information for people that's listening. Okay, listen to this right here. The title of the article... Well, here it is right here. The Effects of Brazilian Green Propolis on Proteinuria. You know what that is? That's when you do a urinalysis and they say, ma'am, sir, you've got protein. Well, what does that mean? Your kidneys are leaking. Well, what does that mean? That means your kidneys have been damaged. Anyway, I'm getting a phone call. That's more important. Talking to people is always more important. I can talk about propolis any day I want, right? Good morning. Welcome to the program. Yeah, you're more important than a honeybee. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Well, you do now. You're much higher on my list than a honeybee. And I like honeybees.
I do too. And I love your ministry. And I've questioned my uncle. How can AFib be prevented? What causes it?
Okay, I'm gonna cover the whole gamut here, okay?
Sure.
Okay, there are studies that show that if a person has what's called a zinc deficiency, then that could actually predispose a person toward AFib big time. And if you don't, and if all you got to do is just Google, type in the word research, zinc related to AFib, and just see what you come up with. I mean, I do this stuff just about every day at my office because I'm looking up something or I'll have a question. And so the typical American diet would be eating too much junk food and sugar. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're never going to hold on or maintain a good zinc level or mineral level if you're doing that. Just like the idea, and that's going to be my next topic, I'm going to jump over to magnesium. Without mm-hmm. adequate magnesium, you're going to be most predisposed in going toward AFib. You just are. Mm-hmm. So if you have a zinc deficiency, if you have a magnesium deficiency, that's going to predispose you toward AFib. The next one, I've sort of talked about it, briefly, but I don't think people are actually told that your blood becomes super thick and dirty when you don't drink water.
Mm.
Is that like a hard thing for you to believe, that your body is composed of water?
No.
Okay. So if you're spending your energy saying, you know what, 12 cups of coffee a day is my brilliant plan for hydration, and well, at the end of the day, I'm going to relax with, you know, a gallon of beer and Coca-Cola, well, that's just a recipe for disaster. Even studies, if you want to look it up, one of the studies that I read not that long ago, when I say not that long ago, I mean 5 years, but it showed that if you just drink one soft drink, it could be a Pepsi, it could be a Mountain Dew, mm-hmm. it could be Big Red. Mm-hmm. Man, I would not drink a Big Red to save my life, but that's neither here nor there. That stuff is just pure chemicals. But anyway, you lose an average of 40 milligrams of magnesium just by doing that.
Wow.
And so what we want is we want the heart to have good electricity. Mm-hmm. So if your uncle could eat one green salad a day, that could easily provide him 5,000 milligrams of potassium. That's an electrolyte, which means it holds electrical charge. You got to remember, your body is one big honking solar-charged battery. It's supposed to produce electricity. And you can't do that without water. You can't mm-hmm. do it without potassium, magnesium, sodium, stuff like that. And so the other thing is, your body needs salt. But I want you to choose salt that's not heavily processed. If you use modern table salt, mm-hmm. if you do that every so often, I don't know that I'm going to freak out over that, but start using salt that hasn't been processed with aluminum.
Wow.
It's called Celtic salt.
Yes, but I use him.
Redmond sea salt, that's a good one. Pink Himalayan salt works perfectly fine, and there's other sea salts. So he needs that. Now we got to talk about, what do we do to actually heal that heart of his? Well, he could go to the meat market today and buy liver and make liver and onions. Highest source of nutritional density on the planet is liver. Now, I know I usually make jokes about this. I know, because I look at people's faces all day long. Do you know what it's like to be rejected?
Yes.
I get rejected over and over and over and over every single day. And I usually, and you know what, sometimes I can be pretty blunt and abrupt. And like I had to tell a person yesterday, I said, fine. Why don't you just stick with your plan and see, you know, you're probably fixing to die here. Do you want to do that? Mm-hmm. You just got to, like, slap them around. And I'm going, what do you think I'm asking you to do here? I'm asking you to drink water and eat food that's actually going to rebuild your body. I'm not torturing you. I'm trying to help you.
Why even come to you if they don't want help?
Well, there's a modern fantasy. It's the American way. Here's the way a visit goes, okay? This is yesterday morning. Dr. Morgan, I said, how would you like me to help you today? Well, I've got advanced sciatica. I've got major tendonitis, bursitis. I've got two bad knees. My liver is, I got a fatty liver. My kidneys are failing me. I've got memory problems. Hormones are out of balance. Can you fix all that? I said, not in 30 minutes. No, we're going to have to prioritize. So you got to give them the idea that there's a starting point. And, mm-hmm. you know what? I have people do this to me all the time, and they'll send me a text later in the day, and they'll go, oh, my goodness, this is like the best day I've had already. I'm going, way to go. There's the whole mm-hmm. reason for being specific. And that's mm-hmm. what I try to do, is I try to prioritize. But going back to the AFib, there is an herb or a tree or a plant, whatever you want to call it. It's actually a tree. It's called the hawthorn.
Mm-hmm.
If you can find a plant that works better on AFib than hawthorn, could you please call me and tell me what that is so I can research it and start using it? Because I'm willing to do anything if it's not toxic and if it helps a person restore the function of their heart.
Is that available in a supplement?
Absolutely, yes. It's called hawthorn.
Yep.
And, you do get what you pay for. So if you see a bottle of it for $6, it may have hawthorn in it, but probably the quality is so poor and so low, mm-hmm. it's probably not worth much of anything. It's like anything else. There's a certain potency that's going to get the job done. So I don't know if you heard the program earlier this morning.
Yes.
People that took 400 milligrams of propolis, they did really well, but not as good mm-hmm. as the one that took 800.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones that did exceptionally well. So there's, like anything else, there's always a dose dependence. So water, drink an optimal amount. I just ran out of time. I'm so sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's not you. It's me. I'm supposed to pay attention, but I ran over. Please forgive me.
We love you.
Thank you. I love you, too. Have a good day, ma'am.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.